Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Zach Hill, and you're watching Nasty Knuckles.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rick Aurelia? What are you saying, man? Big trade, eh? Kyrie Irving to Dallas.
Huge trade.
Huge trade. What are the Stars going to do with this guy? It's crazy.
He's retire his jersey?
Yeah, they might. They might. He's wearing Big Hatch's number two. Coming off a great night, I must say, Elvis got to play last night between periods. He ended up getting Mite of the Night. He ended up with three shots. It was the only thing that really happened because the kids are, you know, going back and forth, and they didn't really get any shots on the other net, and he got lucky enough to get three, and he stopped them. So he was super pumped. It was cool to watch him. Yeah. He was so excited.
Mite of the Night.
Mite of the Night. Man. He screamed it loud.
Proud pop moment.
Yeah, I was just happy for him more than anything. He was pretty fired up. Yeah. But
it's one of those things that he'll never forget.
He'll never forget it. And all the kids on the team, Venom Hockey, everybody involved, it was a good night. Yeah. So I got to sit down there for two periods because he did first and games, second. Yeah. So I literally saw live about 1 minute of the game.
Yeah.
Because I was doing this pod today. I kind of had to shuffle around. I'm like, I better go get prepared for our man, Zach Hill.
Yeah.
Although prepping. I probably could have done it without prepping with this guy. He's unbelievable. But it was a good night anyway. I was proud of Elvis. So
yeah,
it was a lot of fun.
Exciting.
Yeah.
It's big time.
Were you at the game?
I was not at the game. Oh, okay. No, I bowed out of that one. Just too much going on, Nast.
I know. A lot going on. Boys dropped the game 2-1. I would like to say I saw a lot of it. I did see it on the TV down below, but it was tough to get a read on it.
A little bit of a snoozer.
Yeah. I mean, it kind of seemed like that, yeah, from what I saw. But I was hoping they get a win there coming off the break,
Nice, yeah.
Get back at it on Thursday. So
yeah,
we'll see.
That's all you
happens.
Can do.
The All-Star game.
Yeah.
Over the weekend. I know you're a huge fan of the All-Star weekend.
Oh, yeah. I was locked and loaded.
You were locked
not
and loaded.
Not on the All-Star game.
No, not on that. No. I don't know, man. It's starting to get to where it's tough to watch. I mean, they're trying a lot of new things. You know, like, and I guess you kind of have to.
Yeah.
But
a little bit of marketing.
It's just, I don't know, man. It's like, I don't know what you could do, really, to make it. I mean, it's cool watching the guys do skills and stuff, but I mean, I like the accuracy shot. Accuracy, easy for me to say, accuracy shot. McDavid went 8-for-8, yeah, but lost.
Yeah. How?
Nelson did it in quicker time, yeah, and I don't think he did 8-for-8, if I'm right, baller, right? Like, he did do 8-for-8? No, he didn't. Yeah, he missed, but he did it quicker. So Connor McDavid goes out there and knocks him. You know, no big deal. In 8 shots, 8 targets. The surfboard thing was Debo's favorite. He shot pucks for a dunk tank.
Probably hit those surfboards, though, you think?
I mean, first of all, they were saying it was pretty hot down there. I guess going from anywhere around here down to there at 80-something degrees. But I don't know. It was just kind of.
Do you think they could add a new challenge in the skills? Like, is it
what? Goalie shooting at the far end, which I don't really mind. That's kind of cool. But it was the way they did it. If the goalie hit the board, they had the little puck slot. If you make it, then it's a 3-on-0.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but then they're going in halfway, half-ass. You know, it's like, I don't know. I just,
how about grunt work in the corners, cutbacks?
I think they talked about that. They talked about it, but it just didn't seem to be something who could work the hardest in the corner. Because most of those guys probably aren't in the corners that are at the All-Star game.
Yeah, right.
Elvis loves it, so, you know, watch it with him about five times.
Yeah.
It was tough once, but five, to be honest. And then the game is just, I really liked that 3-on-3 at first.
Yeah.
But I know the guys are there. They're probably hungover as hell definitely. The next day.
Yeah.
And because I was there a few years ago.
Yes.
A lot of guys hungover, and a lot of guys just want to get off the ice and get home. And, you know, you can't really blame them. It's their break. But just the games, it's like maybe near the end, it kind of picks up if it's close. I don't know. It's just. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. It's tough because, again, like you said, like, guys, yeah, it's an honor to be there, of course, but they probably would enjoy an actual break, right? I mean, yeah, even though it is technically a break, I mean, you're pulled here, you're pulled there, media, parties, this and that. Drinking definitely doesn't help with recovery and rest, I mean, as we know.
Well, let's not be a Debbie Downer.
Well, but, yeah, so it's tough. It's probably tough to, like, fully engaged, but nonetheless it is a special event, and exciting to be a part of.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it, that's for sure. Yeah, but I didn't have to play. I just partied.
Yeah, you partied. Yeah.
That's all.
You
I
showed
did.
Up.
I did show up.
Yeah,
I did show up. It was a lot of fun, but you could see the grind. Like, it's a lot of work. It's not just we're going and we do these two things.
Yeah, exactly.
It's constant.
It's constant.
They have an itinerary of what they have to do, and they're good about it.
Yeah.
You know, it is fun, especially for the fans and the kids. So
for sure.
You know, that's about it. That's all I got on that.
That's it.
But wanted to talk real quick about Jacob Trouba.
Oh God, old
the freight
time
train.
Hockey.
Man, first of all, two clean hits. Last night, one of the best games of the year, I think. Rangers in Calgary in New York there. Rangers won in overtime. But dude, do you not know Trouba's on the ice?
Apparently not.
Like, Dave Pullen talked about this a couple weeks ago about, and Kadri's not a kid, Dubé's not a kid, but boys, Kadri looks right at him when he's cutting.
Thought
he looks up. Oh my, opening. Yeah, to get crushed.
Opener,
yeah. Oh my God. And then like, I'll get your thoughts on it because, you know, you're a fucking enforcer, tough guy. Like, then he's got a fight because he had clean hits. And then you see it happen all the time now.
Yeah.
I love fights.
Yeah.
Obviously, love fighting. Love the Tillies. And Trouba welcomed it. He, you know, he had no,
totally.
He had zero issues answering the bell. But, like, holy fuck, boys, keep your head up.
Yeah.
Like, no, what are you doing?
Well, I hear you fully. I mean, it's the onus is on the player carrying the puck to keep your head up, obviously. And even if it's a clean hit, you know, we see this over and over and over again where, you know, nice, big, clean hit and it results in a fight. I got no problem with it. I know a lot of people that do have a problem with it, but, like, when you blow someone up like that, your natural instinct is to go and defend your teammate.
Yeah.
I mean, Kadri's helmet's flying up 10 feet in the air. At the moment, you don't know necessarily how clean it is.
That's a good point,
you're just
too.
Responding to the outcome.
Happens quick.
It happens quickly, and clean or not clean, you never want to see your teammate
right
get run over. You know what I mean? It's like just a response to the, you know, to the action. So
yeah,
I have no problem with it. I mean, I think it's good for the game. I think it's good team morale. I mean, it's just you know what you expect almost,
right?
You know, especially when they're blown up like that, like wide open ice, and, like, you know, again, there's a big, you know, dramatic scene there. But I like it, man. Yeah, you said, like, Trouba, like, you got to know this guy's on the ice. I mean, he's a predator, man.
He is.
And he
what a hitter.
He throws,
like, he's so,
his whole
oh
body.
He's a big man.
Yeah.
He's He's a big man.
And quick, how quickly he is able to turn his feet and actually throw his body weight into a guy is actually pretty really impressive as a D-man like that. So in the modern game. So I like it. It is old-time hockey.
Did he hit that much in Winnipeg?
I was thinking that before we hopped on here. I don't remember seeing this many clips. I mean, since with the Rangers, maybe it's just
it's
because
weekly
of the,
almost,
yeah, it's
you
like
know,
he's getting the highlights for sure, and it probably comes with time too. You know, younger guy when he's in the peg, and you get more confidence, you're stepping up more. You know how it is. It's and you know his strength is obviously there, and but nice to see.
Yeah,
nice to see that.
And it's also nice to see the arm not go up from official just because he got hit so hard.
Yeah, just
you know, because sometimes I feel
calling the outcome. Right,
like you said, it happened quick. Maybe you missed a half second of it. Don't know if he got the head or whatever. But man, woof!
Yeah,
you're on the train tracks there, man. You're coming in. That guy's on the ice. You got
to
be aware.
You got to be very aware. Yeah, it was nice to see it. It's definitely. It brings an excitement to the game, right?
Sure.
I mean, both teams are fully engaged. You know, it increases the energy and
the
awareness.
It was a hell of a game, too. It was back and forth and really good game.
Yeah.
So.
I'd like to see more of that.
Yep, for sure. Be
teams
nice. It
note.
Was like a playoff type.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not that many goals are usually scored in playoffs, but it was a really, really good game.
Yep, I agree. And Nas, we're on the road next week. Road trip.
You know where we're going. Seattle. We're coming there first.
Yep.
See our boy Hack, like I've said about 50 times.
Yep.
But fans of Philly, it's on next Wednesday. We're taking off.
Can't wait.
You'll probably have already done yoga by the time we get on that 6 a.m. flight.
Yeah, of course. Got to limber up before we sit many hours?
God, I didn't think about that. Maybe I should come join your class.
Should probably
morning.
Do something.
Yeah,
just
maybe
do
I
it
should.
At home here. You don't have to go nowhere.
But, yeah, cannot wait. So excited. Never been to Seattle. But more excited to be with fans of Philly, our boy Joe DiBiagio. Like, this guy's a legend.
Yes,
can't wait
is.
To go with this man. He's got a baby on the way, by the way.
Oh, I did not know
yes,
that. Congrats,
he does.
Joe.
Yes, Big he time. Does.
How's he going to sneak away?
He's got to go. Like, he's got to go. I don't know if she's going on this trip, though.
Okay, all right.
Paige, but we're happy for them. Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats.
But he's like so wound up about this Roxy. That's why he keeps texting me. So he's fired up for Vancouver.
Roxy Canucks?
Yes, yes. And I know you've got that all set up. We got the best table in the place.
Of course, Ness. You know
you did,
that.
Right? You made that
it.
Call? Okay.
Yeah.
But can't wait, man. Just really excited, especially because I haven't been to Seattle.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of
excited too.
It's cool to see that. I had some couple people tell me about a couple places we need to go see in Seattle, and we'll have it all on video.
Yeah.
But fans of Philly, the best travel agency there is with sports, and we're doing it.
We're doing it, Nas. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
And we're ready to rock. Episode 105?
105.
With our boy.
The living legend.
Zach Hill. This episode was brought to you by Curaleaf. Welcome to Curaleaf, a medical marijuana dispensary. Whether you're a longtime patient or you're just getting acquainted with this incredible plant, Curaleaf of Pennsylvania is honored to guide you along your medical marijuana journey. Have questions? Google Curaleaf PA, stop by one of their 18 locations across the Commonwealth, or visit curaleaf.com/locations. Nasty, let's go.
Let's go.
Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, we have an absolute legend. And that is not an exaggeration. The senior director of communications for the Flyers for the last 30 years, come June. The man, the myth, the legend. And that is true. Zach Hill in the building. Zach, what's up, brother?
Great place you got here, guys. Man, this is awesome. This is like a little mini museum. Sharp, very sharp.
Thank you, brother.
But thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, yeah, dude, are you kidding me, man? Thanks. We've been waiting for this. Eh?
Yeah.
You're like, I know you're big time, Zach.
No.
I know you're big time, but we've waited patiently, and we would have kept waiting for you, man. Seriously, one of the best people I've ever met in hockey, and that's a true story. I was fortunate enough to work with Zach for 26 years, long time.
And your dad.
And my dad. And I remember one of my first days in Philly when I just came back from Florida. I had my first season in Florida. And you and I took a ride down to Maryland they're like, hey, you're going to ride with Zach. And I'm like, I felt bad. Like, he's going to drive me to Maryland for a preseason game. We went down there. We talked about Dylan Fence.
Yes, we did. And yes, absolutely
just
we did.
A lot of stuff got to know him. And you're just not going to meet a better person, man.
Yeah.
You also showed me highlights of your college career basketball.
You got a little angry on the side.
You threw a water ball. And
oh,
like,
my God. That was right. No. Yeah, I did. My dad gave me shit about that, too.
The clips.
I forgot there, about that. Yeah. I did. Well, that's when you can. That's how old we are. We watch the VHS tapes.
Yeah.
And we won't bring up any other VHS tapes that we watched about my basketball career.
I did bring that in the car.
We didn't have it in the car. I showed him later.
It was at his house.
Yeah, right. We did a new lot technology. Together. He was at my birthday parties, man. We had so much fun. But, dude, tell us how it all started, man.
Well, it actually didn't start with the Flyers. It started with the 76ers. I was try to give you the whole thing in a minute, but I was working on my master's degree at West Virginia University in sports administration, and I was 12 credit hours short of getting my master's degree, and I needed to take a 6-credit internship. And so I was living in an efficiency apartment. It was about the same size as this right here. And
this big studio?
Yep. And I sent, I started typing out 100 letters, football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. I sent all these letters saying that I just need an internship, you know, no pay or anything like that. I just need 6 credit hours. And I started getting all these rejection letters back, and I got 3 positive letters back. One's for the San Antonio Spurs, LA Dodgers, and the Philadelphia 76ers. I looked on a map, and the Sixers was, they were a 6.5-hour drive from Morgantown. And they said, we'll interview you for an internship. And I said, well, when can I come out for the internship or interview? And they said, well, when do you want to come out? I said, I'll leave tomorrow morning. So I was there the next day. They hired me on the spot. And so I had to go back to West Virginia, pack my bags, and then I moved to Philadelphia. And I realized that as an intern, and this is for anybody that's taking an internship in any field, that you have to become the best salesperson on the planet. And I'll tell you right now, you're selling one product. You're selling yourself, because you've got to impress the brass if you want to land a job. And I could tell you a quick story. And one of the things that helped me get my job is I was interning with the 76ers, and there was a huge snowstorm. It was about 10 inches overnight. It was like 10 inches. And I get up in the morning. I go out and shovel the snow, shovel the driveway, shovel the snow off the windshield. Get on 95, and I finally make it to the Veterans Stadium. At the time, that's when the 76ers office was located, Veterans Stadium, which has since been torn down. And I get in there, and there's one car in the parking lot. And I'm thinking, what? They must have canceled work, but I'll knock on a door anyway. So I get out of the car, and I pounding on the door, and a guy comes and answers the door. It was the general manager of the 76ers, and he said, who are you? And I said, well, I'm an intern with the 76ers. And he invites me in, and he says, you know what? I can't believe that the entire staff doesn't show up for work. Nobody shows up for work except me and an intern. He says, I'll remember that.
Oh, wow.
And so when an opportunity.
Who was the GM?
It was John Nash.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
John Nash?
Yeah, I remember. Yep.
And he said, I will remember this. And so when there was an opening, he offered it to me, and I took it. And that was in 1987. I was 6 credit hours shy of master's degree. And here we are in 2023, and I'm 6 credit hours shy of getting master's degree. Right. So I never went back and got it.
And, that's amazing.
You know, it was opportunity. You knock, and, you know, all you do is you sell yourself. And
sell
that's
yourself.
Pretty much. So I was there from my internship ended in 1987 with the 76ers. In 1993, I joined the Flyers, and then I've been there ever since.
Wow.
Long story. Sorry, guys.
No, that's amazing.
That's it.
No, it is good. Because,
a lot of substance there.
Yeah, exactly. Especially for people doing interns, internships.
Well, I think that the thing you're talking about, like selling yourself and just bringing more value than you're paid for. In that case, you weren't getting paid at all.
I wasn't getting paid anything.
You're showing up when...
When no one else shows up. Right. And I just, and everything, there was a conference room at Veterans Stadium where the NBA championship trophy was. They'd won it, I think, in 82, 83, mm-hmm. right, with Moses and
yep.
Dr. J.
Yep, that's right.
And there was that's where all the interns were in that room. There were 6 interns. And whenever that door opened up, I was like, I'll do it. You know, I didn't care what it was, but I was always volunteering. because I was selling myself and I really wanted a job. I didn't want to go back to school. I wanted a job and I love Philadelphia and I wanted to stay here.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like that's what you've always done. Even when I was with you 3 years ago, like anything, I feel like you did way more than you were supposed to. You're so passionate about your job. And it was like, I think we talked before and it was a lot like me as far as like, you never felt like it was a real job. You know, like it was more like, you know, like it is a job and it's hard sometimes with the hours but it, you know, it doesn't seem like a job because it's a lot of fun.
It's a job, but if you're passionate about your job, it's more like a hobby.
Right.
Like I haven't used my alarm clock. I used to have to use it all the time in high school and college. But when I moved to Philadelphia, I never used my alarm clock because I enjoyed getting up and going to work.
Yeah.
And it's been like that for the last 30 years with the Flyers. I love coming to work. And it was fun. It was a dream job.
Yeah. I feel that. And like I say, like by far the best PR guy in sports. Like, and I'm not just pumping his tires, like you can ask anyone, and you know Riley, you worked for Zach. Like it's just it's out there, it's known.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say too, like I think part of why it wasn't work for you or didn't feel like it was work is like you're just authentic. Like you're part of your job. I mean, a good chunk of your job is just communicating with people and being genuine and kind, and you do that naturally. So
that's it. Well, I'm gonna tell a story about Riley right now. Can
okay.
I? Oh, yeah. This is the type of person Riley is. All right, there is a man that would always come to practices. And he had this scrapbook of photos of everybody who ever was employed by the team, all right? And I was talking to him one day, and we were talking, and I said, you know, do you have a favorite Flyer? And he goes, oh, yeah, by far, just two. And I said, who are they? He said, Riley Cote and Bob Kelly. And so anyway, there was, I don't know how much time had passed, but he called him and said, I'm having a birthday party down at Chickie and Pete's, right? And so he said, do you think you can get anybody to come? And I called you, Riley.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember this, but we got a team signed jersey. And I met Riley in the parking lot. And Riley had the jersey. And we went in and it made his life. He still talks about it to this day.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
And then, yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yes, we are. Yeah. Yeah.
And then a couple of years later, he was in intensive care. He almost passed away. He was in the hospital. And you were, I think, with the Phantoms at the time, so you couldn't really come down there and see him. So I called Bob Kelly, his other favorite. And so Bob and I went and saw him, and we spent about an hour in the hospital. And to me, that is why hockey players are the best. And I'm not just saying that because I was a member of the Flyers organization for all this time, but when I would open the locker room and the media would come in the locker room and I would talk to people from newspapers, magazines, TV, radio, and I would ask them, you know, what are the easiest players to deal with? And 100% always said hockey players.
Yeah.
They're just genuine and authentic. And you know what? You're fan friendly.
Yeah,
and things like that. It makes my job so much easier when you have the cooperation and trust of the players.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you had such a cordial relationship with the media, and that's not always easy. Like, let's be honest. I'm not going to ask you to call anyone out. I don't even know off the top of my head, but that can't be easy sometimes because there's some guys that want to write shit that piss people off and get a rise out of guys, and it works.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah. The way you handled those guys, and you could see every bit of the media always respected you. But you know, there's probably some tough times you had.
There have been tough times. But again, if you treat people with respect, and you know, there's two sides to every story. And yeah, I've actually had to have one-on-one interviews with a player and a media member, and then I'd be there to moderate. And it's much better to do it in privacy. You don't want to have a player publicly ridicule a media member in the locker room where everyone else can see it. So if there is an issue, you try to separate that from the mass, and you can have a sit down. And normally, if you did that, they work themselves out. Now, there are times where, you know, writers do kind of like are a little critical. And you know, sometimes it's rightfully so, sometimes not. But, yeah, it was my job to make things as smooth as possible, and I tried to do that to the best of my ability.
Yeah, and what is the angle on that? Because essentially you're dealing with ego from the media and ego from the player.
Yeah.
You know, there's some sort of clash there. I mean, I don't feel ego when I communicate with you and you know I'm around you. But like, how does that go down when you play mediation?
I've had instances that, like I just mentioned, it's more like just being an open communicator and just keeping it. If you're always honest with the player, and I think this is one of things that I'm proud about, is that I think that I've been able to promote the players as much as I can without ever putting them in an embarrassing situation. If a player doesn't want to do anything and he tells me so, then he doesn't have to do it. All right. Yeah. But it is important, and I think it's the most thing, that to be accessible after games. And there are times where players wouldn't want to talk after the games, whether they made a bad play or something. But you just have to, as nice as you can, say, you're here for the fans. People want to hear your side of the story. So, just go out and talk about what went wrong and go from there. So it's really about communication, and that's what my title is, Senior Director of Communications. I just wanted to be open with anybody, and I hope that over the years that they got I was able to get their trust. And I do have a couple of stories if you don't want. I remember one. I had been my two hardest years in my professional career was my first year with the 76ers and my first year with the Philadelphia Flyers. And I'll tell you why, real simple. Because I came on board and I didn't know anybody. Mm. All right? So when you come on board, you don't know anybody. No one has your back.
Yeah.
None of the players knew me. The coaching staff didn't know me. When I came with the Flyers, the only person who knew me was, it was Ron Ryan and Mark Piazza. You remember those guys, right?
Yeah, of course.
But I didn't know anybody. And so that was the toughest, because you had to build trust. And finally, when I started getting trust, I'll give you a quick story. We had just gotten a player, Donald Brashear. Remember Donald Brashear?
Of course.
Donald Brashear is one of the toughest guys in the league, and he was French-Canadian. And so his first day there, I come in and I'm talking to Donald and just introducing myself and tell him that I'm here for him. If he needs anything, please let me know. And I could tell it was kind of going in one ear, out the other. I wasn't really paying attention. And as I walked away, Eric Desjardins, who was the team captain at the time, he came in. And they started speaking French. And I don't know French. But I heard Eric Desjardins saying, blah, 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 Zachary, Zachary. And that's what I knew he was talking about.
Yeah.
So Brash gets up and leaves the locker room. And I come up to Rico, Eric Desjardins. I said, Eric, I don't know French, but I know you guys were talking about me because I heard you say Zachary. And he goes, Zach, don't worry about it. I told Donald Brashear, you're one of us. You're very cool. And so the next day, Brash comes up, hey, Zach, how you doing? So you can, if the players have your back, that bridge of trust is just like that quickly. And I didn't have that the first year with the Sixers in the first year of the Flyers. But when you have players going to bat for you, that trust is really quick, and it's all of a sudden you're in the circle real quick.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it gives you
for
confidence,
sure.
And obviously you can extend that.
Right.
And Brash isn't the easiest guy to gain trust from anyways.
Yeah.
You know, nope. To come in there and to earn that.
But when you have the team captain going to bat for you, then it really helps out a lot.
Yeah. That's a big piece of it for sure. No, and there's no secret to why you lasted as long as you did, and it's all these things you're talking about. It's just it's just the way you carry yourself. And I heard you, in an article, you said PR to you represents patience and respect. And it seems like, talking to you, dealing with you, and then the way you describe
Where'd
all this.
Where'd you read that? That's good. You did your homework.
Yeah, I did my homework.
He does that.
Yeah. But it really is true. I mean, I know it stands for public relations, but if you're patient with people and you're respectful of people, it'll pay dividends at the end.
Yeah.
For sure. Like I said, I'd never seen someone run around and do as much as you. I thought I was busy.
Yeah,
this guy was everywhere. Yeah. And then
you were busy.
You were busy. Yeah, but so are you. And
he's a little more focused than you know.
He's very. I don't know how he remembers everything, literally, because he would have a million things on his plate for a day, and you almost felt bad asking for a favor, and within 3 minutes, I don't know what it could be, but it would be done. And you're just like, geez, thanks, Zach. Like, just unbelievable, how much.
Yeah,
I don't know how your memory's unreal, dude.
I don't think so.
I do, because the amount of things you had going on a daily basis, and then everyone throwing things at you, no problem. I'm like,
I don't know if it's memory. It's just it's habitual. Like, you do the same thing over and over again. It's almost like second nature to the, you know what you're doing.
That's true. So we're talking about like dealing with people, and who's your favorite coach or one of your favorite coaches to deal with, you know, dealing with? I think I'm gonna know who the answers is, but
he wore 32 when he played here.
Rich, Chief? You were a coach. Yeah, they both wore 32. Yeah, Craig Berube. Yeah,
of course.
Like, how much fun was he?
He was just so easygoing, you know. And I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, 100%.
He's the best. He was just so low-key about everything. You know, he was just funnier than hell.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? Well, that's the thing. One of the things I really liked about Chief was, like, he would be pissed off after a loss, but he never took it out on anyone else. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he would come into my room and just, you know what he would probably say.
Yeah, yeah.
We all know that saying, but he was great. And I remember you and I always talk about, like, how great is this, like, dealing with this guy every day.
You know what? I don't want to say he didn't care, but once the game's over, he's like, okay, on to the next one.
Yeah, he moved on.
And moved on. And he just said,
which is a powerful thing to let go of the game. It's hard thing to do.
And I tell you right now, I couldn't be happier when St. Louis.
Oh my God.
And he just went back and they won the. So good. Matter of fact, I got a really good photograph. I think it was you, Chief, and Nick Foles and Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You have that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, that's right. I think Baller posted that the other day, or Debo, somebody posted it.
Yeah, that's and then I hopped in. You hopped out, and I hopped in.
Yep.
And it was Chief was just so.
They were pretty excited to talk to him too.
Yeah, they were
both those guys.
Well, was cool. Were you there when he was teaching them how to fight, or someone was asking him, and he was saying how you grab the jersey? I don't know if he was doing it to Jason Kelce or somebody, but it was cool. And then Jeffrey Lurie came over, and I think Howie Roseman came over, and it was really cool. Novacare Center.
Yeah, that's right.
It was cool.
Yeah, I mean, Chief, you know, he's almost like a rare breed as far as coaches go, because to your point, it almost seems like he doesn't care. He has a way to be so calm in that business is hard to do, because much stress and so much uncertainty that you see a lot of coaches that really carry the anxiety on their shoulders and everything that he doesn't at all. I mean,
but there were so many good. I mean, let's go down the list. Terry Murray was awesome. Dave Haxgall, John Stevens, Bill Barber, who am I forgetting? Peter Laviolette. They're all great coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure I probably forgot a couple right now, but it was so much fun dealing with them.
Roger
Nielsen, Ken Hitchcock. They were all great. They were all great. I mean, I had zero issues with that.
You didn't have like Joe Cadillac when he had to deal with Keenan?
I did not. No. Well, tell me, you have a story about Keenan?
Well,
just a couple.
Is this true? You'll know.
Okay.
I remember Joe, and I don't know if he was messing around, but Joe Cadillac told me Keenan made him steal a cab in Vancouver one time.
I think
is
that's
that true?
I believe that is true. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's true.
They were trying to get in the cab to get to the rink, and the taxi driver must have gone in and used a. I don't know what happened, but he wasn't in his cab, and Mike said, "Joe, get in that cab and let's go." And he did it.
We got to get Joe on.
I'm pretty sure it's a true story.
Yeah, I think I heard. I don't know if I actually heard it from Joe Cadillac, but I have heard it several times.
Oh man, that's great.
So if you hear it more than three or four times, maybe go.
Dickie Dunn wrote it.
Yeah,
it's got to be true. Right?
So I wouldn't. I have him on. I could speed dial him.
Let's bring him in.
We'll definitely have to get some confirmation on that. How about your favorite players? Like, I know there's been so many, and it's hard to find a bad guy in hockey. But
there's so hard. There's a guy sitting right there in that chair right there. There's so many of them. I couldn't even go down the list because there's too many of them.
Yeah.
I mean, there are. I mean, they're all. You would be better if you asked me who I didn't get along, because I can't think of any of them. But there's probably a couple players. But 99.9% of hockey players gotten along great with.
It's I always say the same.
It's just so I couldn't list them, because the list would be too long, and I would still probably miss a couple that I think I should have mentioned that guy.
It's tough. I know. I always say one of my favorite guys, because there's just so many.
Yeah, you
know,
there is. Like, for instance, like a couple weeks ago, there was the Philadelphia Sports Writers Banquet was out there, and they always have this thing called the Good Guy Award, right? And Scott Laughton won it.
Now,
Scott Laughton, and I was looking at the past winners, and man, a lot of Flyers have won it in the past.
Well,
and
you won
because
it.
No, I won it for the media
the
side.
Media, I know.
Side.
But you won it.
Yeah. But there's so many Flyers that have won it in the past, and it's almost like repetition. It's every couple of years a Flyer's going to win it, because they really do get it, and they're very accessible, and they know that it's their job to talk to the media. And so there's really not a whole lot of twisting arms and elbows to get them out in the media to talk, because they know that that's part of the job.
Yeah. No, that's important. How was it working with Ed Snyder? I mean, like the essence of him.
He's
and
the
then,
best. I mean, what can you say? He was he's a legend.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, I don't know, there's not enough words for me to describe him. He was just like a role model. I mean, he was the best. I mean, the guy was the legend. I think he's probably the greatest sports owner in all of team sports, not just the NHL, but NBA, NFL, MLB.
I agree.
Yeah. Just on, and just but talking about him, I mean, do I miss the man? Yeah, I think he was great. And we've had some really good conversation. I remember one time he called me and said, "What are you doing right now?" I said, "Nothing." He goes, "Come up to my office. I need a good joke."
Yeah.
I said, "No problem. I'll be right up." Because you know I love telling jokes.
Yeah,
you
know? I know.
And I go up there. It's a funny story. I go up there and Ron Ryan was in the office. There's Ron Ryan. He's the former president, and Mr. Snyder. I come in and I'm talking, and first thing I said was, "Mr. Snyder, man, your hair's getting long. Looks like you need a haircut." And Ron Ryan looks at me like, "What the hell are you doing? It's Mr. Snyder." And Mr. Snyder started laughing. He goes, "Ah, you know what? My girlfriend likes it." And I said, "Well, then keep it long then."
There you go.
Yeah. But he's just, he was awesome. He was a really cool guy.
Oh, God, he was awesome. He was.
Yeah, the essence of the organization, obviously, right? Yep. I mean, it's...
Well, you guys saw it. You guys saw it.
Oh, yeah.
After every game, every win or lose, game. Comes in, right down the line, shakes everybody's hands.
I know.
Every
right
game,
win
or
lose. Right in the eye.
And every game, right?
Yeah.
And his passion. You remember, I think you might have been on a team. I think you were there, too, when we lost, I think, against Toronto, and he went in there and threw a fit about that. You remember about the officials or something like that?
Oh.
He's just so passionate.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, he was. No? I remember one time when Chief was coaching... he came in, and he was losing it at the end of the hall. He had Homer and Chief in the hallway, and they're
is this Spectrum or
this? No, this center when Chief was the head coach,
right?
And he's down the end of the hallway, red as could be.
Oh yeah,
you know when you get pissed off.
Yeah,
he was giving it to him, and he had about the way the team had played that night, and he kept the boys closed the doors. So I'm standing outside of the locker room door, and he comes down, he's like, "Derek, what are they saying?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't know. I can't remember." He's got his ear right up to the door. He wanted to know what they were saying. And then I'll tell you what, they finished. He went back down the hallway. He came back down and still went around and shook everybody's hand. And he was pissed, but he did. He did it anyway, but that was him.
And that's his passion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was amazing.
He loved.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Flyers.
Sorry for the quick break. Just a quick shout out to our sponsor, DLI Commercial, a premier commercial construction and building maintenance company offering support at every phase. Thank you for your support. Check them out at DLI Commercial for all your construction needs. Back to the show. I was going to say, obviously had a ton of enjoyable seasons, probably some better than others.
Yeah.
What was your most enjoyable season?
Well, obviously it would be the two times we went to the Cup.
Yeah.
Against Detroit and Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Those were fun.
Chicago was better.
Yeah.
It was,
of course. Got swept in Detroit. Yeah. But it's still awesome run. Though.
To make
it's still,
it, yeah.
Yeah, to make
but,
it. I'm
but,
kidding.
Yeah, Chicago was better. It was, I think, we lost 4-2, I think it was.
Yeah, we lost in six.
Yeah.
But heartbreaking.
It was, yeah. But even if we were sub 500, I still had fun.
Yeah.
You know, because again, I'm watching hockey, you know, we're dealing with people. And I think the greatest, my greatest, not, it, it hasn't been seasons that it's my greatest joy. It's events. And it is being able to make a little boy or girl's dream come true, you know. Yeah. And I've had a couple stories where I was able to help a person meet their idol. Now, there was this one story I remember. I still have the letter. I have a couple of stories, if you don't mind me telling them.
No, okay. Oh, God, kidding me?
But there was a little boy who wrote Claude Giroux a letter in orange crayon saying how he would love to invite Claude to come to his house and they can skate in his backyard. And then afterwards, we can have grilled cheese. My mom can make us grilled cheese. Well, I guess the kid did some research. He's 5 years old and he found out that that was Claude's favorite food. And so I showed Claude the letter, and obviously we couldn't go to his house, but we invited him and his family to the practice facility in Voorhees, and the kid came in, and Claude says, come on over, and he sat down with him, and we had the chef come out and brought some grilled cheese,
and
the kid was just dying. He was just, he was like numb. I mean, he came, and you could see that he was just like this, staring at Claude taking a bite, and ketchup was ripping down and onto his sweater. And you know, all the TV cameras were there, and it was just good stories like that. Yeah, you know, you love so to have, cool. You love to see kids smile.
Yeah,
that's the best.
It's a big part of it.
Yeah.
On the other side of it, PR nightmares. I'm sure you ran into a few. Anything you can talk about?
Well, I don't want to get into detail, but I had one that was a PR nightmare, and that was the passing of Dmitry Tretishny. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was, I don't want to get into too much details, but that was a really bad, I got a call from, I think it was Bob Clark at like 3 a.m. I didn't get it. The next morning I called him back, and that was a real,
that was
a real downer. Roger Nielsen, I think, was the coach at the time.
Yeah.
Was he?
I think so. Yeah.
You were there, right?
Yeah.
Are you, you're familiar with it, right?
Yeah, I am. Yeah.
So that was a real bummer, right? I wouldn't want to ever have to go through that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So many funny things we've both seen together, but anything stick out to one of your, you know, funniest moments?
Yeah, I do remember one time. It was I came in a locker room and somebody's shoes were nailed to the ceiling. All right, and they were, I believe it was Damon Lankhouse's shoes. And of course, there's only one practical joker that, you know, you point the finger to, and it was Chris Therrien, defenseman, former Flyer defenseman Chris Therrien. And so anyway, Damon, the way how he got back to him was the practice was over, and I guess Damon must have got off the ice early, and he came back, and he cut out the butt of Chris Therrien's jeans, all right? The entire butt of Chris Therrien's jeans, all right? And that day, Bundy came to practice commando, all right? So he had no underwear.
Oh, dear.
So I'm out in the parking lot watching, and you see Chris Tran come out, get in his car, and he's just walking down towards his car, and it's just bare ass, and you know, the jeans and just bare ass. And that was, I mean, that was hilarious, but there've been a lot of, and then you've been a part of a lot of them too. People are watching this at home, Google YouTube Derek Settlemyer with the fake snake and the cobra.
Oh yeah,
the
cobra.
And was it the cobra?
Oh yeah,
the
cobra.
And I think the first guy you got was Mike Raffle, wasn't it, or something like that?
No, I got G first.
You got Shen too.
I got a bunch. I literally got the UPS guy, the FedEx guy.
Oh yeah,
I got everyone with that.
You got Chief real good too.
Oh, I got Chief. That was here.
It was here.
That was here.
So that's actually on YouTube.
Yeah. It was given to me by Red Batty from the Green Bay Packers, the equipment guy. He said, "Nasty, I got something you're gonna love."
Is it sold like that, or you have to tape?
He made it.
Oh, he made it.
Yeah,
it's a fishing line, right?
Yeah, it's a fishing line, and he had the cooler. It was a black cooler with this. It said Gatorade Ice or something.
Oh yeah.
So I was selling it to the boys. Flavor. Like,
try this drink.
I was like, it's like a mix of Red Bull and Gatorade. It's unreal. Guys like, I'll try it.
And I also like the ones you do where you have either you or in a garbage bag or something.
Yeah.
You pick up that equipment bag and you just jump out.
Yeah, I used to put Sal in the goalie bags, and we got some really good footage of those. I gotta pull those out. But
always screwing around Nast.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, lots of good moments that, man.
Absolutely.
So good. So another thing with Bundy, Zach, was when he cut Andy Delmore, had gotten a brand new jacket, and he was cruising around like big timer. You know, he was excited about it. Yeah. You know, he spent a lot of money on it. Threats, he comes in off the ice, and the arms are cut. He's got a vest, basically. But they tried to like halfway sew it, so when he put his arms in, they were afraid of. He's like, they thought he was going to cry.
Oh, yeah. Deli. So, Brad, like, soon, oh young guy. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of those. That was something else I was going to say about Bundy. I'll never forget. Like, so I was always like kind of doing practical jokes, like, and Chris Therrien and Carl Dyckhaus, these two bookends when they were young. They were always, you know, they were always getting a lot of shit. And Peter Svoboda was one of the funniest guys.
Like, I got a story for Peter Svoboda.
Okay. All right. One of the funniest guys. So I'm like, I'm going to get something going between these guys, and they don't even know So before the boys got in that morning, I took a little bit of Vaseline and I put it on Peter's helmet, right? So guys are walking out for practice. This is at Spectrum. It's a morning skate. And Pete puts his helmet on, and right away it's like grease, and it's like slides down. And he's like, what the fuck? You know, in his accent. And he's so funny. He reminds me of Jake when he talked. And he's like, what the fuck? And I was like, fucking Dykers and Bundy are always fucking around. I'm like, here, let me clean that out for you. So he's like, oh, yeah? Oh, fuck, okay. So we go to Buffalo, like, the next day, right? And I'm just fucking stirring it. I was like, these guys, they just don't stop, eh? These young guys? And he goes, we get to Buffalo and guys go to dinner. He somehow gets the key. I don't know if you remember this, Zach. He gets their key or Bundy's room. I don't know if Bundy was rooming with Dykers. I don't know. I don't remember. But they flipped the mattresses and all that shit. They just destroyed the room.
Yeah, I didn't see it. Yeah.
So then the next day in Buffalo, in the morning, guys come in and they're all wound up. Well, Pete did something. I hit his socks. I hit his socks. Yeah. So he thinks Snowy did it. So he goes, gets a nail, and he hammers his shoe into the wooden bench. Well, Snowy's coming off the ice. We had to separate him. We thought they were going to fight. Really? And he's like, I didn't touch your socks. And I'm like, oh, shit. What did I do?
Full brawl, nails,
but they were
shoes.
Going after each other every day, and I kind of just got it going a little bit.
Oh, man.
My story with Svoboda, he must have did something to me. I don't know what he did. But anyway, he's taking a shower, right, and he's got soap suds all over him. And I'm thinking, I'm getting him back, and I get this pitcher of ice water, really cold ice water.
Oh, no.
And I just throw it at him. And as soon as I throw it, the water is in midair, and I'm gone. All right, I didn't even see it. But I just hear this shriek, and he's pissed off. And I run in to the locker room, and there's scrum, so I just join a quick scrum, all right?
That's great.
Yeah, and I forgot that I'm just standing there, and I'm holding the bucket. I know it's just frozen. He just walks out, and he's naked, right, with soap suds all over him. He just looks at me and goes, you're dead. And a couple weeks later, I'm in the skate room or the stick room, and he snuck up behind me and had the blade of his stick and just whacked me in the butt as hard as he could, and I went down. I'm moaning. Oh, wow. All right, we're even. And I was like, oh, about the mark. But I love Peter.
How funny was he, man? My God.
And you're right. He has that great accent.
Yeah,
you know?
Jake kind of took after him a little bit with his mouth.
Well, let me ask you, Riley. Did you ever have a problem? Because I don't see the players normally get along really well, or are there sometimes factions or cliques, or how does that work?
You know, honestly, I've had a pretty good run with my teammates outside of maybe John Sim.
Sim Daddy.
Back in the day. It was just a little personal beef in practice. But all good guys. I mean, there's obviously a couple guys silo, like, you know, maybe some of the European guys, maybe it's kind of silo together. But I mean, overall, I mean, the great guys, and once you kind of extend and hand out and, you know, invite them to dinner and stuff like that, like, it just everything is pretty kosher. But yeah, I mean, I always enjoyed my time at the rink. That's why I come to the rink so early and just hang out with Nasty and whoever else I can.
Do you think that is similar to the other sports, or is it a hockey fraternity that are really tight?
I think hockey is special for sure. I mean, obviously football has so many guys and, you know, different positions and, and groups and stuff like that. I think basketball is probably a little bit segregated too. Baseball, I just don't know enough about, you know, the culture there. Yeah. But hockey is something special there for sure.
Yeah, it is. I know a lot, all the equipment guys for all the major teams. And it's funny, like, listening to their, you know, bitch about something to each other, you know, this and that. But I'll never forget when we did the outdoor game at the link.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Dilmitros, he's a head equipment manager with the Eagles, and his staff were there helping us. And
I remember that.
The
yeah.
first morning, the boys come in and they came over to got to grab a coffee and they sat down where my little area was. And they're just, hey, this is Greg. And they're like, hey, what's up, man? And they're just sitting there talking. And a few guys walk away and he's like, dude, they come and like hang out with you and talk. And I'm like,
like a foreign thing.
I'm yeah. like, yeah. Well, they have, like you said, they have so many guys. So it's not like guys. His right. guys aren't good guys.
Right.
It's just there's so many of them.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And he could not believe how the guys were like standing there talking and asking him questions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, they're the most normal guys. I mean,
couldn't agree more.
You know what I mean? And yeah. and the funniest was after the game, you know how the bags are pulled and the guys are packing their bags? It blew them away. His whole staff kept going, see, they're walking their bags out. I'm like, yeah. Claude's the first guy. You yeah. know, he was always the first undressed,
yeah. Yeah.
bag over his shoulder on the cart to go to the bus or whatever, or not the bus, but the truck. And they were blown away. They just couldn't believe it.
Same here. And I'm trying to think, is it because of they're Canadian and European? Or I don't know what it is. I remember here when I first started with the Flyers, it was around the time we had a rookie named Dinas Zubras. Remember?
Yep. Yeah, of okay. course. Yeah.
Well, and he, you know, he was from Lithuania, I believe. And it's the same time, I believe, the same time that Kobe Bryant was coming out of high school or something like that. And it's kind of like Kobe was under the microscope for, I don't know what, eighth grade or something like that. Like he was, you know, he was a legend here in Philadelphia. And so he was always under the microscope. And I don't know if these guys like from Lithuania, when Dinas came over here, you know, no one really knew of them. I don't know if it's just the culture that maybe they're from farmlands in Canada or something like that. But these guys they're not in the same spotlight as other sports.
Yeah. That's right.
And when they make it to this the NHL, it's just like, things don't change. They're, you know, a tiger doesn't change his stripes. And these guys have, you know, they've always been cool their entire careers, and now they're just happy to be there. My first day with the Flyers, I go in, and do you guys remember Tommy Soderstrom, goaltender?
Oh yeah, yeah. All right, yeah.
So Tommy.
Oh, Tommy. Tommy. I used to love his little bag of tricks he carried on the road.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. We won't get into that, okay. but we'll call him a bag of tricks.
Okay, but he's weighing himself on the scale, and the TV stations in the locker room wanted to interview him. So I come up and I said, Tommy, you know, the TVs, can you come out here and talk to him? Yeah, sure. No one. And he got off the scale, went out and did his interview, and he comes back in. And as a habit, I would always go up and say, you know, thank you for doing the interview. And I would come up and I said, Tommy, just by the way, thank you for doing that interview. And he looked at me like I had two heads. He goes, why? That's part of my job. And I thought, oh, man, this is going to be easy. When he said it's part right, of my job, yeah. And he comes out and does something like that.
Yeah.
And they go, wow, this is great. So I loved it.
Yeah, he was a good dude, too.
Yeah, he was.
I like Tommy.
Yeah.
He was a good guy.
Do you know who his partner was back then?
Dominic Roussel.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yep. Ruse.
Yep.
I was here.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know who he got traded for?
No.
Ron Hextall. We got Hexy back in that trade. Okay. Tommy went to the Islanders.
I'll be darn. Yeah.
Baller. What, Debo? I'm kidding.
Impeccable memory, too, there, Nest.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I remember things. Yeah, but, buddy, like, I'll tell you what, Zach, we can't thank you enough
for
coming on.
Yeah.
We do have to mention the Dick Dillman Award, the Dilsey. Three times.
Yeah.
When was the last one?
Last year.
Last year. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My bad. I'm sorry. Four.
Yeah.
They correct me.
Yeah. No.
Nope. It's for the Eastern Conference. Your staff being the best. Obviously, you're headlining that.
I'll be honest with you. I'm more proud of the fact, not that we won it four times, but we're finalists 12 times.
Yes, I did.
Because that means that's a sign of consistency. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, I'm very humbled and I love the fact that we were able to win it four times. But for us to be 12-time finalists, I just shows it shows you that we're consistent for a long period of time.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And Zach, like, I meant it when I said you're a legend. Dude, when a press conference room is going to be named after you.
Yeah, no doubt.
That was a shocker.
The Zach Hill Media Center, dude.
Yeah.
Left an impression, and you're it's well deserved, man. That is one of the coolest things ever. I don't see him naming an equipment room the nasty room. They might name one of the couches or something.
Yeah,
that was offices. Or something.
I believe that was Dave Scott's decision, and so that was I was very That's humbled, awesome, and I think it's almost surreal, you know. But I think it's really cool. Yeah, I appreciate that very much.
Very well deserved.
Yeah. That'll be rolled out in October of next.
I think
next
it's going to be it's September or October of this year.
Yeah.
Now, beautiful. Explain to also, you are in your 30th season.
Yes.
And what are you, you're kind of a consultant at this point.
Yeah, actually, I check in with PR every day. Joe Seville is running the show over at Voorhees. And so, you know, I was there. I went to the game. I saw you at the game last night.
Yep.
And by the way, let me tell you this. Never in the history of humankind has a goaltender never allowed a goal. So tell Elvis, no big deal, give him that goal.
The first
star. he got a shutout the second one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, he got a shutout.
Because he told me he's upset that first
one. Yeah, he did. He got scored on in the first intermission.
Okay.
But it was a good shot. I told him. I'm like, dude, it's okay. You got to play again. I told him, like, you can't get all upset.
And he was
a might
of the night.
And player of the game.
And he got the might of the night.
Good job,
Elvis in the house.
He was excited. Speaking of Joe Seville, he's kind of taking over for you.
Yes,
he got to work under you, thank God. So I know he knows what he's doing. He's a good man, too. You ever played golf with Joe Seville?
I have not. No. I heard that he...
show.
Yeah. I heard. He can.
Joe, I'm sorry. I'm telling it. We were in Lake Placid. I think it was Lake Placid. Ryan Podell was... We went out all night.
Right.
Like, we had an all-nighter. The whole team, coaches, everyone. And long story short, everyone's pretty banged up. But we had to... Early tee time, the players had to go do a team bonding thing. So Podell's, we go down for breakfast. Podes is like, oh, I'll be right back. Can hear him in the bathroom puking.
Who?
So loud, Ryan Podell. So I'm like, Podes, just stay here. Like, he's like, no, I want to play golf. I'm like, all right. So we ended up splitting 3-3. We didn't have two foursomes. We played 3-3. It was me, Joe, and Ryan Podell. So first hole. Joe hits a good shot off the tee, puts one on the green, right? Well, Podes hits one in the bunker, right? So if you're imagining this, I'm like, I take the flag out for Joe to putt. Behind him in the bunker is Podell. Joe's lining his putt up. As soon as he comes back, all of a sudden, I see Podes right in his back.
Right
he
his
hits it. He still putts it, drains it for a birdie on hole number one. And Podes is literally dying. Like, it sounds like his stomach's coming out. And Joe's like, yeah, baby. Like, he's walking to the hole. Then after that, complete shit show. He just was not playing well.
Yeah.
I've never seen a guy snap. Because he's the nicest, most calm guy you ever meet, right? He was losing it. Now, every time I tell him, he's like, oh, it's not true. And Podell was like, that is true. This guy, Podell's had a putt about this big. And right before Joe went to putt, and he said where Podell was standing was in his, like, the light. So it was a shadow. Like, that made him miss the putt. So Podell, he's like, curse, fuck, it's a fucking joke. I should get that over him. Yeah, no, it counts. So then Podell misses a putt this far, and Joe goes, good. It was the best golf round I ever had in my life.
Competitive.
Like, oh, man, was he funny.
Did he break any clubs?
He didn't. I don't think he broke any clubs, but poor Podell, like, I don't know how he got through the 18 holes.
Why the hell would you want to golf? Feel like
I don't know. You don't want to golf when you feel great.
Now, wait a minute. Is Pose the one that they have a surveillance camera of a goose?
Yes. I've got to get that.
Okay.
Yes. Ryan Podell, he is actually in charge of the St. Louis Blues. Dude, we thought he was kidding. We had him pull the footage, and they come after him, and he's like boxing him. He has that footage. I will get it.
Oh, so good.
But Zach, seriously, so many good stories. Like, we could sit here forever telling stories about just you and I that we've done. Rick
the
Flair.
G-rated stories. Yeah,
right, the G-rated exactly. stories.
Oh, do you have the video?
I do. You sent it to me. Okay. Yeah, Rick Flair, he set that up when I got to meet Nate,
that's so cool.
My hero.
Yeah.
We appreciate you coming, man.
My pleasure.
You're going to be living in Ohio.
Yeah, I'm going to be living in Ohio.
Beautiful place.
Yeah, I got a place in between Cleveland and Cincinnati, but I'll finish
two
up.
Two places I
I don't want to be.
When I moved there, they said, "Well, are you in the witness protection program?" No, I'm a Buckeye at heart. I was born in Ohio, so yeah. You know I love it back there.
Yeah, no, so. I'm kidding. I meant Cincinnati and no, Cleveland. No. I've been to both.
Okay,
it scared me a little bit.
Yeah.
But no, I'm kidding. But that's awesome, man. You deserve it. I hate you're not around more because I won't get to see as much. No. But place is beautiful and you deserve it.
Well, man. I know I wasn't putting you guys off. I just said I was so busy running back and forth. So at no point was it's just that it took some time and I'm still not quite settled in yet.
We appreciate the chase.
That's yeah, man. No. Yeah, so. It is. But you're the man, legend. We thank you, brother.
No problem. I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you guys too.
Of course, right. Debo Baller.
Yeah, Debo doesn't talk, so don't worry about that.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, Zach.
I was wondering, I pulled in here the driveway, and I saw all these cars. I thought, you have about four families in with you or something like that? Because I couldn't even park in the driveway. I'm out on the street.
Sudsy was probably parked out there. Okay. Yeah, he was out there.
Got it.
Oh, man. But all right, brother, we appreciate you, man.
No problem.
Thank you.
Right. Thanks for having me, guys. Thanks for having me.
You're the man.
All right, a big thanks to the GOAT, one of the best in the biz, Zach Hill.
Guy.
What a beauty.
People don't realize, like, how, like, great this guy is and how great he was at his job. And, man, he's the best in sports. Like, there's no way you find someone better than him.
Yeah.
Did everything.
I know,
said during when we were talking to him, like, he would have a million things on his plate and he would do anything for anyone. And he never forgot anything.
Yeah. Way it above
amazed
and beyond.
Me. Yeah, way, yes.
Well, that's why he lasted so long, and that's why he is the best in the biz, right?
Yep.
I mean, you're bringing way more value than you're getting paid for. And 100%. He did that every single day and did it with a smile on his face and you know, easygoing and just a genuine, authentic person. So
it's great for, like he said, kids, school, whatever, interning. You follow what this guy did, you know, just – he worked his ass off, but he treated everyone. It's the same thing as your parents. Right? You treat people the way you want to be treated. He exemplifies that to like all the way to the top.
Yeah.
And he's just an amazing human.
Yeah. And I love his message there. You got to sell yourself. You know, it sounds kind of like, what does that even mean? But like, you got to bring it. You got to be on time. You know, you got to be, you know, you got to bring your integrity, you know, this story about showing up and him and, you know, the general manager,
how
the only two people
that
show up at the building, you know, it's, but you're selling yourself. You're representing yourself always. And it's important if you actually want to find a legit job and have success in it.
You're right.
There's some things you just got to do. So that's it.
They're naming the press room after this.
Yeah, game. Right. Like, no coincidence there.
No. Unbelievable.
Yeah, so props to him. And thanks for hopping on there, Zach. And
chased him down.
Finally got him. Finally got him, Nast. Good job. Wrangled him in.
What did Sudsy say that time? It's all the way up. What'd he say?
Got it wide open.
Wide open. This guy from West Virginia, wide open.
Wide open.
Great guy.
Yep.
Great guy. Many stories. A lot we couldn't tell. If we could.
Maybe we have to do a 2.0 uncensored.
Once he's totally off the payroll.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you could tell some. But no, great guy. Appreciate you, Zach.
Yeah.
I think it's about time for clear questions.
It's time.
The way you've been going today, I just want to crush all of these.
Why don't you?
Intended, because you're driving me nuts today. But we go. Ballers throwing phones. Debo's swinging. Got a lot of new flavors.
Look at that.
Here from Clear Rum.
Look at that.
Yeah, you should just crush one right now, buddy.
A little water in your body.
Yeah, you got water.
Hydrate while you dehydrate.
That's right. But our good friends at Clear Rum. clearrum.com. We got some clear questions, Baller?
Yes, we do.
Yes, sir. This one's from Frank Chicken Pig Hog over on Twitter. What's the funniest or most badass Ray Emery story you guys have? It's a shame he passed, and I wish he could have been a guest on Nasty Knuckles. Rest in peace, Razor.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Kidding. What a good man.
Jeez.
Oh,
what do you got, Nasty?
Something.
Why don't you talk about the Lappy story? Maybe it's not a badass story, but it's kind of a funny one.
Did I say that? Did I tell that one before?
I'm not sure if you have.
Well, it was pretty – I feel like I just talked about that. But one of the things was the boys play cards on the plane. So Lappy had won finally. He won like $1,500 bucks, and we were going somewhere on the road –
So Lappy got undressed real quick, and he's going out of the locker room, and he says, "Hey, Razor, don't forget that 15 hundo you owe me." And he's like all proud of himself. Some of the guys kind of laughing. Razor looks at him and goes, "Hang on, Lappy, I'll grab it out of my ashtray." Yeah. And Lappy put his head down and just walked out of the room, and the whole room explodes in laughter. Like it's ashtray change, yeah, the 15 hundo. But Razor used to, I'd have my expense check for the month. Like, we'd be going on the road, and usually everything was, like, happening. We're trying to get everything packed to get on the road, and I wouldn't have time to stop by the bank. So I'd always, like, get on a plane, and I'd be like, "Razor." He's like, "Ray Emery Nationals open," because he always carried his, we called it the football, yeah, remember? Oh, yeah, he always had 10G cash,
yeah.
And he would give me the cash for my for the expense checks. I would sign it over to him. But badass story, like, God, that guy was just a badass. Like, there's no doubt about it. In the NHL, he didn't have as many fights as he did in the American League.
Oh, yeah, right.
He fought a lot, and he fought Josh Gratton toe-to-toe. And remember, he fought Marty Biron, kind of let him off the hook, and then he fought Peters and was laughing.
Yeah.
And was laughing, but he told us some stories. He told me some stories from shit he had to deal with, you know, in the minors, a few altercations that happened off the ice, which were not his fault, but he was a Golden Gloves boxer.
Yeah,
too.
I know. Yeah,
he was forget. Just a tough man. Like, to answer the question, Ray Emery was just a badass, and he was an unbelievable person. And he, once we, the first day he was there, we got to know him, and you know, you had heard, you know, you hear things about guys and. Dude, he could have been a better teammate, a better person. Love that guy, man.
He was a beauty. You know, funny story. I think I've maybe told it before on this pod, but my first and only power play time I ever got with the Flyers was against Ottawa Senators. I'm standing in front of the net, and I forget what the score was. You know, we were up, and the game was like kind of over. But you know, Johnny threw me out there. You know, go stand in front of the net, and so I got Bray Emery poking at the back of my legs, asking me to fight in the middle of the power play. And I was like, man, I'm like,
I got a power play
here. Like, what do I do? Like, this is a tough situation here. Do I fight, you know, Razor, or do I actually try and like play and, you know, try and squeeze something out of this? So it turns out, I forget how the play went. I think it was loops on the half wall, threw it across, and I kind of get a stick on it, and then and Uppy taps it in back door.
So you got
an apple. Yeah, my first power play and only apple on the power play in my career. But as soon as it happened, we're like celebrating, and then Razor's like looking at me. He's like, "We still gonna go?" And I was like, you know, like, I'm like, "No, I gotta go celebrate."
Yeah,
and
I gotta celebrate. Sorry about it.
Sorry about it. Next time. But it was just funny. Like, you know, guys, like, so into the game. Obviously, like, he wasn't joking.
He wanted to go.
And I struggled with that one because I was like, man, this could be a really cool opportunity to fight. But then I'm also in the power play, you know. But raising the lineup, being my teammate, obviously. And I just, you mentioned it, just like a great guy. Like, he's just a very good human and just the good personality, you know, good humor,
funny.
Right? Just funny. Like,
guy.
You'd never think that he was, you know, like as crazy as he was, you know.
Yeah.
RIP. Yeah. It's a great, great question because there's a lot of stuff that's not coming up.
I could go on forever. Oh, yeah.
And the other thing that comes up for me is not like it's a crazy story, but just, you know, you get to the bar and he'd always do his quick shot of, I think it was Jack, and he'd grab his beer, but then he'd fire up the stanky leg. He'd put his, get a stanky leg going. And, you know, Razor was ready to rock.
We had the first day I met him, he had to do an interview, Daily News Live, at the Citizens Bank. So we went and did that. We stayed for a couple innings, and then we went out, and we ended up having a Michael Jackson dance off
night. Of course you did.
A
little Thriller?
Yeah, we're doing it all. I didn't give it any of that. I was giving more of my kick. You know, my Michael Jackson kick.
Yeah,
you know, he's got that kick. But, one of the things also quickly, we've talked about it before, with when Neil Little did the dive, the famous dive.
Of course, yeah.
We went there 2 weeks later. Ray had like steam coming out of his nose, and he was standing at, him and McGrattan, bigger. They were firing pucks off the back of Litz's legs. And I'm dying laughing. I'm like, this is going to be an absolute shit show. And then Litz comes over to do his normal little water thing. He would put his glove down, and I'd put a towel there. And Razor's going, you're fucking dead, little. You're fucking dead. And I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, I put a towel up over my mouth, and he goes, oh, real fucking funny, isn't it? Yeah. I was like, yeah, it is, actually. But you should have seen Litz kicking that game. He didn't want it to get out of hand because he knew Ray was coming the length. But
it's got to be tough to focus at the pipes, knowing that he's on the other side, trying to keep your composure. Yeah, man.
Well, you know, he thought Litz said, I thought McGrath was just going to run me through the wall, and just get tossed. But anyway, great question. Like I said, we could go on forever about Razor. Just a great human, man.
Dylan, Dill Tupac. Tupac. Any Nick Aubé Cubell stories?
Cube. Well, I had Cube as a player when I was coaching in Lehigh.
Yeah.
And he was 20-year-old rookie, you know, very fresh, if you will, and very sensitive.
Oh, yeah.
He was one of those guys that it took him a while to understand the pro game as far as, like, you know, showing up as a pro and showing up every day and being consistent. I think we talked about this on his pod. I think you actually you teed it up there. But, you know, being late and just, like, just not on time and just, like, a couple little things that you can never do as a pro.
Right.
Never, especially the young guy.
Well, he learned.
He learned. Oh, yeah, he learned. But I just think of, look back and, you know, when I coached him, like, unbelievable hockey player, like, strong, could shoot, explosive.
Yeah.
It was nice to see him mature because, you know, I had him as, like, this fresh rookie that, you know, just kind of, like, figuring out the pro game, but, good human, you know, just
really
always
good.
Like smiling and, you know, having fun. And I learned from him was, like, how important it is to enjoy the game, you know. Maybe probably enjoyed it too much, you know, like some of us, but but you forget about the game sometimes.
It happens. Oh, wait.
Love everything about the game but the game, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, but a good dude. You probably got some stories.
Yeah, no, he was, you know, he was young, obviously, when I had him too.
Yeah.
Three, you know, 3 years ago, he was up and down and just a fun kid, like you said, just always happy and obviously happy to be there.
Yeah.
Once he made it, and he's done well, man. He's got his name on the Stanley Cup.
Yeah. Kidding.
Playing in Wash for Lavi. Lavi probably likes his game.
Yeah.
You know, he's a hard nosed player. He's so strong, guys.
So strong. He's deceivingly strong.
Probably now people know more about him, but man, is he a strong, strong kid. I was, get his skate sharpened in a half inch, and I'm like, dude, you're too big and strong to have that deep of a hollow. And I would always inch him up, and I'd get him to like 5'8", and a few games would go by, and he'd be like, Nasty, can you bring him back down?
I could tell,
but I'm like, you're just making yourself work too hard. But anyway, great kid, great question.
Yeah.
Love Cube.
Me too.
Wags, Barstool Wags on Twitter. Is Lawton the next captain, in your opinion?
Man, that's a great question because we've kind of talked about this. And I think if Coots was healthy, he'd have an A on his jersey.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
And so I know there's only one, and it's Lawts. But I don't know I guess that's a torts thing, probably. For next year, maybe if Coots can get back. I saw him last night, and he says hoping to be skating here in a week or so. But he's feeling better, which is great news, by the way. But I don't know, Roz. What do you think? Like,
I mean, obviously love Coots. He's an absolute leader in his own right. I just, like, when I see Lawts, and I coach him, so I know him, and I've seen him evolve and mature and become a pro that he is. To me, when I think of a captain, Lawts kind of fits that bill a little bit more. I mean, he's a little more vocal. He's a little more of a glue in the locker room. Like, he gets the good guy award that Zach Hill. I mean, he's a great guy. Obviously, meat and potatoes, you know, you can get from him, shows up. That's the way I see Lawts. So maybe a little bit more, you know, leaning towards that captaincy if there was someone to choose. How many more years does he have in his contract? Two?
Baller?
I think he signed 4 years.
I think he signed five. 2020, 21. So maybe three left.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And Coots has eight.
Yeah. And something like that might be the deciding factor of maybe why they would give it to Coots. I mean, I'm not saying Coots is not a captain.
I don't want to
come across like I'm saying that. But, as far as, like, you know, communication goes and being approachable and, you know, like Lots has got the, like obviously Coots got the respect of his teammates.
Right.
But no.
I think also, Riggs, it's like you have a different guy in charge. Like, so Coots, the other people that have been here with Coots, though, you know him and he is a leader, like you said, but it looks like Torts has taken a liking to Scott. How do you not?
Yeah, right.
And not that he doesn't like Coots. We don't know. We're guests trying to answer the question best of our knowledge.
Just hasn't played.
Yeah, he just hasn't played. So it will be interesting to see.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's a great question because, you know, there's a couple guys there that obviously could be your captain. Yeah. So just, I guess Torts will probably make that decision in the end.
Yeah. All right, Nass, that's a wrap.
105.
105 in the books.
Love
creeping
it.
On 200.
Yeah, only 95 more. Hope I'm alive.
Well, just keep drinking that clear and you'll be good.
I will.
Keep you young.
Oh, get ready.
Yeah. Well. Well, until next week, 106.
Yep, coming up.
Be sure to subscribe, check out our content, questions,
comments.
Likes, comments. We appreciate it all.
Yes.
Appreciate the support. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.